you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. On today's episode, it's day 12 of our 12 Days of X-Men countdown. And we're talking about, of course, Dark Phoenix. Stay tuned, y'all. All right, hey everybody, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Days of Marvel podcast. What's up? How you doing? I'm today's host, John Irwin, and alongside me here are Aaron Lacasio.
Hello.
Our wonderful wannabe rogue,
ooh.
Max Tedaldi.
Oh, I like that.
What's up? Not wannabe, definitely.
Our wonderful wannabe Wolverine.
Although I have like Storm's haircut right now.
You do have a very strong haircut.
But I did dress like Rogue for like most of high school, so it's fine.
There you go. It kind of counts. A little bit of both. They're not too far away, to be honest.
I dressed like a Chad in most of high school.
Chad's not an X-Men.
A Todd. On this podcast, we are counting down to the release of now-released Dark Phoenix, revisiting all the X-Men movies of the Fox universe, doing that one day at a time. Each day, of course, we've tackled a different movie. We've re-explored the plot, call out our favorite moments, and discuss its place in the ever-expanding X-Men universe, which just ended. So, guys...
It's done now.
It is done. Until it gets rebooted to the MCU. So, guys, we can jump in now. And today, of course, the one other person I almost forgot to mention. I always
can't forget him.
I know, right?
A little robot cutie,
Warvis. Warvis, how you doing, man?
It's so lovely to be back for the final X-Men movie. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, and Warvis is going to give us a little recap of leading up to the events of Dark Phoenix.
Good luck.
Where we're at.
Good luck, Warvis. Godspeed.
Yeesh.
In the final events of X-Men Apocalypse, Professor X encouraged Jean to unleash the full strength of her abilities, incinerating Apocalypse. It's unclear whether Jean was tapping into Phoenix strength or not, but the red in her eyes did imply that there were some Phoenix things afoot. Psylocke managed to escape, but we don't really see her at all in Dark Phoenix. Who knows if that will ever pay off in the future. Anyway, back at the end of X-Men Apocalypse, we're back at the X-Mansion. Eric and Jean help reconstruct the school, but Eric refused Professor X's offer to stay and help teach. Peter, a.k.a. Quicksilver, likewise decided not to tell Eric that he's Eric's son, another thing that we don't see get paid off in Dark Phoenix. However, using confiscated Sentinels, Hank and Raven started to train the new X-Men recruits, Scott, Jean, Aurora, Kurt, and Peter. We never get to see these Sentinels, but these are the X-Men that will come to play in Dark Phoenix. In a post-credit scene in X-Men Apocalypse, we see men in black suits visit the Weapon X facility to retrieve an X-ray and a blood sample marked Weapon X on behalf of the Essex Corporation. This is an allusion to Mr. Sinister, another villain that we do not see in Dark Phoenix. What we do see in Dark Phoenix are collars that were used in Deadpool 2 that apparently remove X-Men and all mutants' powers.
All right, thanks, my dude. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through the plot of this movie, talk about the highlights that come up. We're going to do a little bit of discussion at the end, talking about favorite moments, favorite lines, and then see where this fits into our overall, against our sci-fi official rankings. Of course, we didn't rank this, but we can kind of guess where we want to fit this in amongst all the other X-Men movies.
Nice.
All right, y'all. So, of course, this movie starts out with the typical psychic X-Men way. Inner monologue with a black screen.
Yes, that's the X-Men way. I'm like, do we have to do this every movie? Every movie.
I'm just kind of done with it.
I feel like it
kind of worked with Professor X doing it, where it's like, you know, he's the psychic. He's the, you know, the dude that's going to bring some like severeness to this. And there's something just about Jean that I don't know. I really liked what they did with the Fox logo. They put that
little X in
little
there.
Shiny X. And I was like, ooh, that's
new. I was like, oh, get it while you can, guys.
Yeah, you know what? That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
We waved goodbye in the theater. I was like, bye.
For sure. Deuces.
So after that part, we go back to 1975. And so you get to see Jean at the kind of the start of her powers. She starts to learn and control the radio, right, in the car with her parents. And then very quickly, we realize she gets overwhelmed. Like any mutant, right? You don't know how to control your powers off the start. Hers, being a psychic, starts hearing all these voices in her head, freaks the hell out, and ends up crashing the car because of her like episode there. And then what appears to be her parents' deaths. Like she kills her parents because of her first really big episode dealing with her mutant powers. And then of course, that's entryway for Professor X to come in, be the savior. His whole line of "there's nothing wrong with you, right? You're not broken," which comes back to play a little bit later.
Sure.
Her entryway into becoming one of the X-Men, one of the first class X-Men that's there. Yeah. Well, I guess not first class; it'd be second class X-Men that were there. So that's a big, huge story plot point to set the whole premise of it. Yeah. That I didn't expect us to go back that far, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit interesting to see where
they
she came
set her
from.
Up better in this one than Last Stand.
Totally.
Because they do the same 100%. Kind of intro where they go to the house and they kind of get your intro to little baby Jean. I think they do it way better here, and this is way more effective. And like
very
seeing
so.
How like she's troubled by her present. She obviously kills her parents. There's like a nice shot of her seeing her mother's dead face in the rearview mirror, which I thought was effective.
That was a really well composed
It was a really,
shot.
Yeah, nice shot.
And that really cool scene with the force field where
we
it's
see
a crash and we
hitting.
See the glass kind of reflected against that. I really loved this open, actually.
I
thought this
too.
Was one of the stronger opens to an X-Men movie. I loved that little shot with the music that's playing on the radio. I think it's Werewolves of London is one of them. And the other one is something like Rise Like a Phoenix. I don't know. They were making some sort of juxtaposition there between her dark side
and her light side, normal Jean side.
but also I loved the scene with the car just kind of like floating in the air. It almost looked like it was being held there by some sort of mutant power force.
Yeah.
It was just a cool, cool scene.
And I love what you guys pointed out because it did a good job of setting up different parts of what pays off later. Not just the character part, but even that little bubble around Jean. You see her use that later on in the movie when she's protecting her family, right? In the train scene that we're going to get to in a hot minute. But the scene that well thought out that even in the first very opening scene that it ties to it was nice.
Also just love seeing Professor X, the way that he communicates with a child. He's really good in this scene, and he breaks things down so that she can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, just the sign of a good teacher.
Yeah.
So really like this open.
Then fast forward 17 years to 1992, which, if
92.
You're an X-Men fan,
yeah,
is, of course, where the X-Men series came from.
Of course it's 1992.
Hell yeah.
Hell it's
thank Golden
you.
Age. Yeah. For me anyway.
For me too.
Like beautiful fan service, right?
Awesome.
You didn't need to, but I
appreciate
love
it.
You for
yeah.
it.
Once the 92 like flashes, I was like,
That feels good.
Yes, sir.
That feels real good.
And so at this point, we see the X-Men a very different place than we left them at the end of Apocalypse, right? Now they are basically the heroes of the United States. The president of the USA has a direct line into Professor X, calls him up, like, dude, we have a problem. X-Phone.
The X-Phone cracked me up. Yeah. I was like, I love that he has an X-Phone. Like, the president. Like it's so, like, Adam Westy Batman.
It was
adorable.
I like
the campy stuff, though. I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
So they get called to save the shuttle Endeavor. It's in space and kind of messed up, and no one knows why. So we could see the whole X-Men team slowly get to be revealed. It was kind of a fun open to see them like all team up together. You go into the hangar with the X-Jet there.
Sweet.
And see them all.
Who doesn't like seeing the X-Jet?
I did not like their costumes though.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, I wish they did a little it was a little weird, a little janky.
Yeah, I mean, well, I immediately thought of the way that they treated the costumes in the original, 2000 X-Men, where it's like black leather everything.
I mean, that was so early 2000.
It was so early 2000.
Yeah, that was what every, but I liked it. Yeah. Like, I think it was very much fit the aesthetic of the time, and this didn't fit the aesthetic
like
of the
OG,
time.
This felt like OG, 60s X-Men.
It felt very much like first class. Yeah. Where I think they could have taken like what they wore in first class and updated it for like a 90s. Like, this didn't feel like like a 90s outfit.
Add some shoulder pads up in that shirt.
Yeah. We needed pouches. We needed pockets. We needed
pouches. That would have been amazing.
We needed, yes.
That would have been
belts
so good.
Yes, right? I was like, where are my pouches? Where are my pockets? That was 90s. Where are my shoulder pads?
Have someone with a mullet in there.
Like, we needed more mullets. Yes. None of them looked too 90s to me.
That would have been awesome.
But that's where like Captain Marvel, I thought, went too far into the 90s nostalgia, and this movie didn't go quite far enough.
I mean,
like,
it really didn't.
It didn't do anything.
It was almost nothing.
If you didn't know that little time blip didn't come up, that little title, you never would have thought it was taking place in the 90s.
Nah. I kept waiting for just one little like...
Nothing. The whole time. I was waiting just for even like someone's like ringtone or like it playing in the background. Yeah, or like
ringtone would have been.
Or like just like put it into... Oh, well, yeah.
They're beepers.
There was not even a Nokia thing yet. A beeper. Okay, could have been a beep. Okay.
So
continue.
Shuttle Endeavor. I'm going to wrangle this out.
Continue. I'm sorry.
So the team's getting ready for Shuttle Endeavor. One thing that jumped out to me straight off the bat from that, Mystique is the leader. Like, I know Professor X is leader, but like, she's that Cyclops role, the traditional Cyclops role of leading the team in the field, gathering them up, gathering a little bit of morale, getting them on the Quinjet. She's X-Jet. I know, mixing my Marvel movies already.
It's coming
soon.
It's coming soon.
I know. So that was really cool. I could see a team now up in space, all working together. Things stand out moments for me. Awesome. Cyclops blaster amplifier in the X-Jet.
Super dope.
Hell yeah. I never thought about that. That was so cool.
I was like, John's going to love that. Like, immediately, I was like, John's going to love that.
Hey, you know me too well.
I was like, oh, Cyclops gets his moment.
Yeah, I know.
I just like seeing the team interacting together. Like, that's why we come to the, that's why I love the Avengers movies. Like, when you see everyone using their powers together, I think it's really fun. And X-Men is a team-up movie. It's always supposed to be a team-up movie. So I liked seeing how all of their powers could be utilized in space.
And I flash back then to X2, X United, with that sweet open with Nightcrawler.
Oh,
we got
to
see Nightcrawler kind of kick some ass here.
Hell yeah.
He's awesome. And he's always been like,
I love Nightcrawler.
Really great combined with other characters in a team-up, because he's just teleporting people in exactly where they need to be, which is sweet.
And the team-up that I wrote down that I like the most, and you see in this entry, is Nightcrawler and Quicksilver. I'm just thinking, how much damage could those two do together
so
if they're like repeatedly four? Yeah. You take them to a spot, and then all of a sudden, like, between the two of them, holy hell. Like, you could do some really bad damage between those two. Of course, they save Endeavor, but before we get there, the captain of Endeavor's off doing his own thing, and you know, you almost forget him. There's a lot of pressure to go back and get him. Jean says she can. Professor X says to stay. Mystique, though, very much like, hell, the Phoenix Force is about to take over this jet. We should get the hell home. Like, we're trying to be here to make sure that our team is safe, too. But they do stay, of course. Jean goes over there. They save him. Nightcrawler does not have time, though, to save Jean from coming back to the Quinjet when there's Quinjet.
It's okay.
I'm going to keep doing it.
Just keep doing it.
Nightcrawler doesn't have enough time to save Jean and pull her back to the X-Jet when they're going there to save the Endeavor's captain. So, of course, Jean envelops, or the Phoenix Force envelops Jean.
The heat signature's rising fast.
We got to get out of here.
Where's Jean?
Where is she?
And she basically like implodes.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Did I miss something? Why couldn't Quicksilver go back?
Quicksilver?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Like, is there a reason why they couldn't? Why Jean had to go?
Back?
Yeah.
No, I don't know why.
Or is that just, okay.
One of my issues with this movie is Quicksilver is underutilized.
He's very underutilized. And they cap him off. And I think because he's one of those mutants that has too much power almost, where if you insert him in, or like the Flash too, where if you put them in, they can basically stop time. Like, they're a little too powerful. So you have to use your characters in different ways. That's why sometimes they incapacitate them, so we can not have that issue later on.
Yeah.
This scene for me, I was so pissed at Professor X here. I was like, dude, you're a bad leader, because you're trying to, you got the whole team in space. You're not there.
Right.
And you want to empower them to make decisions.
Such a Professor
but,
X thing.
Yeah, but he's like, no, Raven, you don't get to make this call. This is my call.
I love that he's like Professor X Dick from the comics.
Yeah,
I love
that
they like, I was so happy that they like kept that little piece of him, because he's always been kind of like a manipulative character. He's kind of a dick in the comics. And they kept that. I was like, yes, be a dick. He was like, like with the president like hanging out, and he's like, yeah, go save people in space, guys, just go friends.
And he gets all the glory afterwards.
And he does
it.
And
he doesn't share it.
He's
not there with his team.
No.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's soaking
And they
stuff
also
up.
Added in this movie, it was almost like an afterthought from his Days of Future Past, like, alcoholic phase.
Right.
You see him kind of like taking some hits of the nip in this one. he's enjoying his whiskey.
I appreciated you guys' points, seeing a different take on Professor X in this than we got to see with Patrick Stewart, right? I think Patrick Stewart was the purity of Professor X, like all good all
version.
The time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this seeing the messed up version in Days of Future Past, seeing
an alternate reality
deal with
version.
It with Apocalypse into now, like that, I dug them trying to take a different like approach to Professor X rather than just same copy paste repeat.
Yep.
Right. Fine. Yeah.
So, of course, Jean survives. Duh. Or the movie would be done right there.
The end.
She comes back. No, everybody's very confused about how she survived. They do, of course, medical tests, how they always do after that. And Beast says, your powers are off the charts.
So stupid. It's so stupid. It's just like, power level's over 9,000. Like,
I immediately went, it's over 9,000 in the theater.
Like, what?
I'm like, what is this?
So this is, here's the subtext here, is that there is some metric, right, not only while they're testing her health, but there's some metric that's reading power levels.
Power levels, I guess? Can do that?
Right. They're like trading cards, right? It's like, she's an 11 out of 10 now, which I just thought.
Up to 11, Spinal Tap it.
I don't know. Like, we don't need that. That felt like kind of lazy story.
It was very, I thought that was like, lazy.
Let us find out that she's powerful. You don't have to tell us right off the bat she's super powerful.
Right.
With my power level reading device.
Yeah, they could have just had her go for like diagnostics and he's like, you should be hurt. You should be, something should be going on with you,
totally.
But nothing is. Like, that's weird.
That's strange.
That's very strange,
really good
but
call.
Okay. I wish they would have just done that with it. Like, your power level seems really
power
strong.
Levels.
I'm like, okay, we know, like, we don't need that.
It's so stupid.
It was not needed. If they would have just ran her diagnostics and be like, okay, yeah, we're fine. She's
this
like, yeah, I feel
why?
Good. Why? Like, you could have just moved. Yeah.
So after that, though, is a scene that I really loved. You get to see the X-Men kids partying
in the
forest, man. It's just like a straight up forest fire. Yes, and Dazzler.
Super Dazzler, sweet.
My favorite part in the entire movie
was
seeing Dazzler.
That was so sweet, man. And they did her justice there, too. I think that that was cool.
And ahead of her time with some like electro pop in there.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
She was channeling some Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Gagas.
So I love seeing that little glimpse into like the students' daily lives,
for
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And also seeing Beast and Mystique like monitoring them from afar and being like, "Yeah, you guys do what you do.
Like,
just don't mess up stuff.
Remember when this was us?
Remember when this was us? Hey, we're old guys.
It's like, we're old, but we don't look old.
It's exactly
why does no one age?
Well, that's
I get Mystique, but why does Beast not age? Anyone know?
Because Nicholas, how do we say his last name?
Holt.
It's just a youngin.
He's been around since the 60s. It's been 40 years.
Well, he'll eventually transform into Frasier. So
one day he just is Kelsey Grammer.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I gotta pull it back a little bit.
Pull it back.
Right.
Because
we have a lot of movie to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Jean, of course, has her first episode. Phoenix Force overwhelming her in the forest. All she does is injure some people. Like, legit, all it is like it looks like X-Men or Cyclops got punched in the face. And then after that, though, she's kind of in a in a coma, but kind of asleep. I don't know how to describe her state. Mm-hmm. Professor X at that point realizes something's wrong with her. Even though like the tests are fine,
mm-hmm.
something mentally is wrong with her. Professor X tries to use Cerebro to read her mind to find out what that is. He can't get in and see. Well, sorry, he can get in. He sees the Phoenix Force though is breaking down. As he puts it, the scaffolding,
Put
up,
the walls
to protect her from her early life.
Yes,
yeah, of course, of course, Professor X manipulates her.
What a gaslighter!
Eventually, that sort of scaffolding breaks down entirely. Jean sees that her father is alive. Professor X had lied to her whole life.
Yeah,
since meeting her, saying that her father was dead. She sees her father as alive. So that's a big catalyst for the next beat in this whole entire movie, trying to find her father and also hating Professor X for putting those restraints on her.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's typical Professor X.
It's typical Professor X. It's creepy. I don't like it.
Yes.
It's manipulative, but it's very true to his character and what he would do. He always wants to do things for what he feels is the right reason. It's like being the hero in your own story, but you go about it the wrong ways. And that's true, Professor X, because that's always been a part of him, where he thinks he's doing what's for the better, like the good, but he's really not.
And this is
not giving people freedom.
Freedom, no consent.
At all. And this is, I think, one of the moments that we'll talk more about, but like where just like the actions don't make sense in terms of what happened on the screen. And Jean really like flips out and leaves.
Yes.
Right. But yeah. It was just, there is a whole network of people there that are designed to help mutants. Like that is literally right. The safest place for her to be. But she's like, no, I might hurt these people. So I'm out.
It felt cheap, right?
It was too quick.
It was a little too quick. A lot of this movie, it feels like it moves very fast. Like, it is a very fast-moving movie. I will just say that for it. It moves quick. It, like, jumps plot point to plot point very quickly. And I feel like I needed more from that scene to, like, get where, like, oh, I got... Like, of course, like, you find out your father has been alive. Like, you want to go see him. But also, is that the best move? Like, why does she want to see her father? Like,
you don't listen to anybody that's been important in your life when they're trying to tell you, hey, pause the brakes or put the brakes on this a little bit.
Or even, like, why did you put these restrictions? Obviously, there was some reason that you blocked out my father from me. Why? Like, nobody talks.
No.
There's no communication.
Yeah. It is a very just like, hey, let's move the plot along.
Yeah, which I needed. Like, it is a very talky movie, so I get it. And it's supposed to be an action film, but I do wish like there was more of like a little more of like a back and forth between her and Professor X, like her and Xavier talking there to be like, hey, why did you put these restrictions up? And he can make an argument for it. They can argue and then she could leave.
Yeah, absolutely. And her power when she explodes isn't something that's out of the ordinary for Xavier's school for mutants, right? Like they're all used to trying like having power explosions and trying to gain control of this. This wasn't so bad that it's like devastating to her.
No.
I guarantee you she's had worse, AKA the car crash, like had worse in her life and in throughout her training process. That's why it's a little weird to me. Of like, okay, so you had a moment, an episode, move on.
Right.
Like, or at least try to.
Yeah.
But anyways, she doesn't. So, and she goes and is now going on fast track mind to go find her dad. As Professor X says, she's all desire, all emotion at this point. So goes to see her dad and basically reads his mind. No pictures of her up on the wall. Very confused as to why there isn't that. Reads his mind and sees that when this car crash happened back in the day, her dad didn't want anything to do with her. Wanted to ditch her. Didn't know what to do with her. Was pissed off at her and blamed her for her mother's death. And basically turned Jean over to Professor X and said, hey, I don't want her. Good luck. All yours.
And for me, there was a line missing in the opening scene, the car crash scene. You needed a line from her dad saying something along the lines of, like, Jean, not again, right? Something that keyed you into, like, this was something that had been happening her whole life. Because now, like, her father abandons her and you're like, what are you doing, dude? Like, this is your daughter. You lost
worst
your wife.
Ever.
Right,
you're the worst dad ever. And, like, it just made his character so diabolically unbelievable and evil.
Yeah.
You need a little bit more.
I think you need a little bit more something. Because like her mom mentions, like, he's like, Jean, is that you? They're obviously aware of her powers. So you could have like had another line
that
was just like not like Jean, calm down or something that he was more a little bit abrasive with her. Because they just seem like, OK, good parents. And then like all of a sudden, like now he was like, nope, you killed my wife, your mother. So bye, kid.
And she was my life. And you were just a bystander.
Not my life. You're just also my daughter, but I guess I don't care about you anymore. Bye.
And speaking as a dad, like, I can never do that.
Yeah.
I can never blame my eight-year-old daughter for anything that happens.
Yeah.
Like, it's a total accident. It was very weird.
Yeah. Like, it's like, here, strange man in a wheelchair, take my child.
Yeah. You deserve to have your house have a bunch of holes in it after Jean gets done with it, to be honest. You're terrible.
Your tummy twisted.
Like, geez. Yeah, tummy twister. Yes.
You got a
tummy twister.
Ball.
Oh, my God. Oh, shoot. So, Jean hates her dad. Surprise. And then X-Men are there following her, right? Professor X knows where her dad is just from having kept this secret from her. X-Jet, all the team is there. Very much a showdown in the street, typical of most like kind of superheroes. Let's walk towards each other instead of duck around and see what's up. Exactly, the hero shot. So X-Men come to kind of throw down, make sure Jean's okay, but also make sure she doesn't like tear up the whole entire world.
Yeah.
Jean is just kind of like, yeah, get the hell away. Throw Storm aside. She's able to be quicker than Quicksilver. And it's like, nope, that board you're about to step on, nope, we're going to throw that aside. Nick, you're done.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler, like, dude, don't even try.
Don't step.
Kind
of.
It's like, she was just like, bitch, please. Yeah. Like, the entire time she's like, nope.
Like, all right, thank you.
And honestly, my biggest issue with this scene is Quicksilver, who we don't get to see enough of in
no,
this movie.
And I love
who's
him.
Been so dope in the previous
right.
movies.
Yeah.
But we've seen this from him before. We've seen this scene where he kind of like slows down time, where he's just moving so fast and he's operating. So like that to me, we've already seen that.
Yeah.
And then this scene felt so much to me mm-hmm. like Justice League and Flash versus Superman, where Superman just kind of nerfs Flash power
yeah.
because he can kind of see through it. So it felt just like we've seen this before. And that power that we should have had from that scene, we didn't get because it mm-hmm. just felt like
right.
it's been done.
Yeah,
I would have wanted Quicksilver to at least get a shot in.
Yeah.
Right? Like beat her up
yeah,
a little
sure.
bit. And then she's like learns from that shit and then
right.
changes up her
yeah,
tactics.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I
it was very much
I agree
Flash
with
Superman.
You. It was very similar scene. I just think that they didn't know how to do something different with his powers that we've already seen.
Yeah.
They weren't too inventive in their filmmaking here. They just no. were kind of like, oh, let's rinse, repeat what we've done in the past two movies and not do anything interesting with it.
Yeah. And I was very surprised when you're seeing what the X-Men did with Endeavor. They all teamed up. They
yeah.
go to Jean.
Right.
It's all solo.
They're
it's
all
one
solo.
On one on one on one. I'm like, come on, y'all. Like,
you're X-Men.
You're a team. And
yeah.
Jean, you've seen her be the most powerful person.
They also all train
like,
together.
Quicksilver and Nightcrawler team up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
drop his right on the top of her. And then,
right.
I don't know, Fists of Fury.
Yeah. Yeah. They all train like together. They should know how they all operate and mm-hmm. how they all work. Even though this is new powers from Jean, they should still be able to, like, come like do something. They all just came at it very separately. I'm like, this is not how this would go down, really. Like,
right.
they would at least have some kind of tactic, or did they just show up and be like, we'll wing this, guys?
Like, definitely
we'll
was sick. Wing
we'll
it.
Wing it.
So throughout all this, so the one person that takes a different tactic, Mystique,
yeah,
Raven goes mm-hmm. up and tries the Professor X approach of reaching out to the Jean mm-hmm. inside Phoenix, right, talking
yes.
to her as a person, and gets super close. Like right up there in personal is you see the Phoenix Force start to seep out of Jean, but not close enough. And we get one of the like, kind of touching moments, but kind of also.
Sigh?
Yeah, it was. And Phoenix at this point, okay, I'm going to call her Phoenix because
she is.
She is
Phoenix,
dispatches Mystique like none other. Yeah. Throws her aside and right
bye
through
bye.
The stomach, a bunch of splinters of wood. And kind of one of the most devastating, for this team, one of the most devastating
yeah.
deaths you
sure.
could have had, right?
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of the people that glues everybody together in this
right.
whole entire plot. And Mystique is no more.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit of a lame way for a tentpole character to go out. I did like the callback to, it felt a lot to me like the scene in the original X-Men where Wolverine actually
claws her.
Yeah. So you see those like three claws going through her. In this case, it's the three like shards of wood going through her, but
right.
in this case she's yeah. actually dead.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence did not want to be there.
No, she
that's
what Max and I were saying right after the movie.
Accurate.
She yeah. phoned it in.
Yes.
And I feel so bad because she did such a good job with the character in First Class and Days of Future
Past.
She's
great.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get a good fight scene with her.
Yeah.
And she did such a good job in the other movies.
It's like, I'm over this.
She was done.
Yeah.
And she's like, I also
understand it from her side, though, too.
Yeah.
There's no future to the franchise
yeah.
as is,
right?
Like,
yeah.
I was also confused as to why she transformed back into like her human persona when they were back at the mansion, because
yeah.
that's very not Mystique's character.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's never been.
Yeah.
So I was very confused as to why that was too.
So that she
I
didn't have
why.
To spend all day in makeup.
Yes. Realistically, I know why, but for the movie's purposes, I don't know why.
I mean,
why.
The makeup in the movie wasn't even that
no,
great for Mystique.
And I wish
but,
it was better. But it was, I mean, I wish the moment
one,
landed a little more.
The
me.
One part that did land was Beast's reaction. That
for
of all
sure.
of it.
For
it
sure.
Nicholas Holt, mispronounced his last name, sorry. But seeing the transformation in his face,
mm-hmm.
that's what hit home at
yeah.
me more than Jennifer Lawrence's performance or anything else.
Because
yeah. that's
yeah.
a character that, to me, I think felt
I liked
it
their relationship
most.
Throughout
me
these
too.
Movies, too. And I liked her like trying to
me.
Say I love you at the end. I was like,
mm-hmm.
oh, this
it grew
is,
on
this
me a
is
lot.
Sad.
Yeah.
I really wanted
so,
to see Beast go full berserk in this movie, like full crazy evil Beast.
We
and
we almost got
it. Was close.
We almost got it.
All right, so we do have to move the plot along a little bit, guys. It's half my fault, too. All right, so having killed Mystique, now Jean goes to visit someone that she thinks can relate
mm-hmm.
to hurting people, Magneto.
Yeah.
Magneto, we see now, is basically the head gardener of the mutant farmers.
It's Genosha.
It
yeah.
is
Genosha.
I was like, come on, y'all. Just call it Genosha.
Just call it.
It's
yeah.
Genosha.
They should have. It's a freaking island. Like, they're all
yeah.
mutants, happy-go-lucky there.
So
call it Genosha.
In my IMDb research of this movie,
yeah.
one of the characters is titled as Genosha Sentinel, or Genosha Guard. Oh, so like it's Genosha.
It's Genosha.
They never actually say that in the movie. And I was surprised. Because they should, because like that's another fan service moment.
Yeah, why not?
I was sitting there,
give
you
a little.
Let me hear the word. Let me hear it.
Let me hear the word.
Right? But I kind of was.
Give me what I want.
Give me.
Yeah. Magneto is a changed man on Genosha. We're going to call it Genosha.
It's basically a kibbutz. Mutant kibbutz.
Yes. So Magneto's changed man, retired, very much more humble and in control and thinks through his actions. He's not kind of as emotional as we've seen him before. Magneto, when Jean is there, keeps beating into her head of, why are you here? Whose blood is this? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? You're hiding something from me. And then does transform into the Magneto we know and recognize of like antagonizing, right? The dude that pokes and prods until the person gets angry. And then the army comes and kind of interrupts their like moment there. And we see the army trying to ask for Jean. Magneto does what Magneto does, is like trying to hide and protect mutants. So I haven't seen Jean in forever. And then sadly, of course, Jean, I'm like, dude, just stay hidden. Just stay hidden. Nope. Nah. Phoenix takes over, and Jean comes out and dispatches of one helicopter, is fighting another helicopter, and then Magneto, you see, be on the good side of trying to hold the helicopter together, the army's helicopter together, to prevent more people from dying, and straight up tells like the army dude, yo, I can't do this for very long. Get the hell out of here.
She's too strong.
Like, she is too strong for me. And that's saying something. Magneto is the most powerful mutant. Like, right. Always has been, always will be.
Awesome.
And
I like this scene.
He's too strong?
Yeah. I like their like powers. Him fighting Jean here, I thought that's one of my favorite scenes.
Agreed.
And maybe it's just because I really love Magneto, but I thought it was a good use of seeing how powerful he is, because he's the only one who's kind of come close to matching her power at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you think back to Days of Future Past when he lifts a fucking like
stadium.
So good.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only dude that can compete with that, right?
I love him throwing a stadium at people. Ridiculous. That is amazing. I wish I could throw stadiums at people when I get mad at them.
I think I wish I had a different line of dialogue from Jean to start off this scene, because she comes in and she's like, I can't stop hurting people and I like it. And you really I wanted her to be more like on the precipice of like, something's happening to me, I'm changing. You're the only one I think that can help me.
Right.
But it was almost like, dude, like, two things have gone wrong right now. Like, this is not like a lifelong issue that you've had. It's been like a day.
It's been like 2 hours.
Like, you know, this is not like I can't stop hurting people. You've hurt like two people.
Two people.
Yeah.
It's two.
And one was like a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, you've hurt one.
And
people.
It was Cyclops, so no one cares.
One people.
Sorry, John.
It's okay. I mean, Cyclops in the movies is very different than my Cyclops.
Didn't like feed into like what the Phoenix Force is actually doing to her, which it's feeding off desire, feeding off her rage that she's obviously buried down between her, like deep within her. So it's feeding off of that, and that's why it was able to do what it's doing, and why her powers, like, why they kind of chose her as a vessel. And we don't go into that enough. And this would have been a good scene to do that. Again, like Max was saying, like, if they just added a few more lines, like, I don't know what's going on with me. I have all these new emotions, new feelings, and this new power, and I don't know what's going on. We should have seen more of a confused Jean. And she seems very, like, she's confused, but we don't do enough with it. Like, this was another scene where I'm like, I wish there's better communication, because it's like, it's there, but they don't go all the way with it. It's just too quick. Like, we're just like, nope, next thing. Like, nope, next thing. Like, they don't give it enough time for like the emotional moments to land. And that's what this movie really needed for us to give a shit. Sorry.
I didn't finish. No, my bad.
I'll finish. Yeah. Sorry.
No, absolutely. you hit it on the head of, and it's something that I think they tried to write off in one line that Professor X said of like, oh, she's all desire, all emotion. But we needed more of her dealing with that.
And I wanted her saying that, like more of her. Like, she's the lead of this movie, I feel like I didn't get enough of what she was going through.
Absolutely.
And I feel like I connected more with Magneto in this scene than with Jean.
By far the best.
He's so cool. And 100%. I love that scene where he opens up his secret treasure chest.
His secret treasure chest.
And he's got, obviously, like, his, you know, his helmet, his iconic helmet that, you know, protects him from Professor X. But he also has clippings of when he was vilified in the previous movie.
Yeah.
And that to me says like he wants to remember this. This is something that has affected him. And that to me is good storytelling, right? It's you just kind of, it's not in your face. It's just kind of something that you notice. And then you get to make assumptions and conclusions about what this character has been going through. And just some really, that to me is an elegant story writing moment.
And after Magneto versus Phoenix kind of happens there. Magneto tells her, get the fuck out.
Yeah, GTFO. Like,
hey, they, you gotta go.
And she's like, oh, you're trying to protect mutants. I'm like, yeah, by getting you as far away from them as possible. Because I can't even control you at this point. So she goes and does her like weird Superman
thingy.
And just like flies straight up. Do you notice that's all she does? She flies straight up until she disappears. So she tries to fly straight up and goes away. And eventually Beast comes to visit Magneto on Genosha, right? And tells and reveals to Magneto the blood on Jean's shirt that Magneto is kind of harping on her about comes from Mystique, comes from Raven. Jean killed Raven.
Yeah.
Instant switch in Magneto.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I love Michael Fassbender as an actor.
It's
like
so good.
In one freaking look, you see all the switch of emotion.
He has that
in
one
him.
Tear that travels down, and he's like, you know, if I find her, I'm going to kill her. And Beast's like, okay.
Yep.
Yep.
You killed my lady, so all right.
Yeah. And you immediately see, like, Nazi Hunter Magneto.
Oh, yeah.
Like, uh-huh.
Where's my Nazi Hunter Magneto movie?
Hell
give me that. Give me that movie.
Right.
I want that.
I would watch the hell out of that.
I watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, you get like one very little glimpse of it in First Class, probably when he's like in Argentina or whatever. Right. But that's it. That'd be awesome. So
I want all of that. Yeah. Or in Age of Apocalypse, which I need to revisit. But like, there's some really good Magneto stuff in that movie.
Yeah, Tarantino could direct that, I think.
Mm. Ooh. Damn, that's just that like, just play with
much,
my heart.
Too much?
Nah.
No, I would love every second of that. Give me, Tarantino. Oof.
That would be awesome.
Oh, okay.
Magneto Unchained.
Unchained.
But eventually we see, I do want to keep talking about that.
After that's a podcast for another day.
Jean is now in an alley crying, and of course covered in rain, as typically are when you're dealing with complex emotions in superhero movies.
It rains.
It rains. Yeah. It's what happens. So Jean's being rained on, and this is the first time now she is greeted by Jessica Chastain's character. Mm. I think it's pronounced Vuk, V-U-K. Is that
Vuk?
But she is the leader of the Dabari. In which I looked them up who the Dabari was because I was confused because usually the Dark Phoenix story in the comics used with the Shi'ar Empire, right? They're the main one of the main alien drivers of that storyline. So I was like, why the Dabari? Why don't you just do them as the Shi'ar?
Yeah.
But the Dabari, they are in the comics, remember, for the Dark Phoenix story, Jean goes and destroys a bunch of planets when she has this. The Dabari are the little asparagus, the blue asparagus people that she destroys in the comics. I had no idea, but that's
who
they are.
Who are
out for revenge from what happened to them in the comics.
Yes,
they were we did not get enough love in those comics that we all forgot about them. So we need to now be in the star of the movie.
Exactly. I only remember them as blue asparagus people. But
we should.
So Jessica Chastain, the leader of the Blue Asparagus people, the Dabari, she kind of seduces Jean by saying that her power, of course, the typical like X-Men seduction phrases of your power should not be controlled. They should be unleashed. Right. And Vuk starts to explain a little bit of what the Phoenix Force is, how it destroyed their planet, how they've been following it throughout space and were actually there when they saw the Endeavor get kind of like encapsulated by the Phoenix Force. And then she also explains a little bit of the context of the power of it all, like how powerful the Phoenix Force is. It can revitalize and recreate a life and recreate worlds. And so she does a pretty good job, I think, of kind of catching the audience up on what the hell this is that has enveloped Jean. At the same time that this is all happening, this happens like part in the alley, but mostly in New York in this like really nice building. Magneto is looking for Jean, of course, found out, killed Mystique on the witch hunt for her, has his own psychic, the bald woman who finds Jean is in New York. And then Professor X is tapping into Beast, reading Beast's mind to find out that Jean is in New York through Beast's mind, who found out through the psychic of Magneto. Yeah, it's like daisy chaining revealing information. AKA, let's move the plot along and get them all in New York at the same time so we can have a showdown.
Bam, face off between Magneto's group and Professor X's group.
Yeah. Who fight in the street with no regard for pedestrians.
It's a street fight.
Zero.
At all. They straight up take like taxi cab doors off and the person is still there and they're fighting. I'm like, yo, you guys are supposed to be the good guys.
Right?
And
they just move them out the way.
Yeah. Also, you have a teleporter. Way.
Yeah.
You have a teleporter.
You have a teleporter.
mean, which is forgotten.
And we also get to see a little bit of Magneto's kind of number two, Celine.
Yep.
Who I believe was in, she's like one of the old, old mutants, like almost like before Apocalypse level. Level psychic, who was really like a reference from the comics, but like you don't really get to see her fight that much.
No,
she's just kind of standing there, looking cool.
She just relays information.
She does
to
the
Magneto.
Mind thing where she like touches her head, like all psychics have to before you use your powers. And it's
and
like,
you get to see Iron Braids.
Iron the heck, Braids.
I don't know his name. He's not his new character. He wasn't from the comics or anything. Yeah. But he's like,
no, I was
Whip Braid Man.
We were trying to figure out. I'm like, this is not a comic character because I'm like, I don't recognize who this is. And I was sitting there. I'm like, do I just not recognize this mutant? I'm like, no, he doesn't exist. I'm like, I refuse.
His name is technically Ariki.
Ariki.
Okay.
I like Iron Braids.
I like Iron Braids.
But we do see a pretty cool showdown here.
It
so
is a
Magneto,
good
Beast, Iron Braids, and Baldi versus Storm, Cyclops, Nightcrawler, and Professor X in the streets of New York. Awesome. Freaking finally get to see a little bit of Storm in my mind.
Yes.
Like, see her tapping into the lightning. And get to see Magneto freaking take a subway car up from under the ground.
An abandoned subway car.
Right?
No, there are people in it.
I
mean, I don't
just super
dirt.
Magneto,
so dirt.
Magneto wouldn't care about pedestrians and humans, so I'm fine with that. But it was like, those are straight up people in there. We don't care. No, okay, we're going. No one cares about people in this movie.
And then, the one thing we did miss, which I loved, when they first, like, Magneto's team and Professor X's team first come to New York, Professor X starts his typical like speech, and Magneto's like, "Dog, heard this 100 times before. Shut up, we heard this. Like, no one cares. Get done with your speech. Okay, let's move on. Let's fight. Yeah, okay, let's do this."
Yeah, I did like that too. They used that. I think one of the Charlies like, "Nobody cares." I wanted to add like a "Nobody cares, Charles," and then just Charles. I needed a Charles in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Charles Foster Kane.
But pretty cool scene in the streets of it. Like, the only thing I wish it was a little bit more less, not as dark, so I could see what was happening. But I know it's a technique to hide some of the intricacies of fighting. Is you darken it down, so it's less on the CGI element of it, or easier hide parts. But
lazy. And so you think Nightcrawler and Quicksilver would make the best combo? I think that Quicksilver and Cyclops would make the best combo because it's basically just like Quicksilver holding Cyclops and like aiming his laser
like
really fast.
A rocket raccoon situation. He just holds him
just
up.
Just using
he
him.
Simbas him.
Yeah,
he just Simbas him
definitely.
Around.
Baby Bjorn.
I mean, that's what Cyclops deserves.
Yeah,
to be baby Bjorned by Quicksilver.
To be baby Bjorned by
Oh, but I forgot to mention, Quicksilver gets hurt in the Jean Grey battle, so that's why he is not here in New York.
Yeah,
he's still recuperating from those elements, sadly. But throughout this battle, Magneto's team does have the upper hand, distracting them. And also, I think Nightcrawler is weighted down by just carrying around Professor X, to be honest. I'm like, dude, you can wait on the sidewalk, and then when we need you, we'll bring you back, rather than like, having to carry him throughout the battlefield.
Again, you have a teleporter.
Yeah.
Facts.
But Magneto goes straight up to Jean Grey at this point. I was kind of surprised he did, but of course, he's not afraid of anybody. Flies right up to her face. Talks a little shit, says something's gonna happen, tries to pull the rail off of the stairs, and Jean, it gets like literally centimeters, millimeters away from Jean's eyeball.
Yeah.
Then she kind of just like tosses it to the ground, like, dude, get out of here.
Yeah.
And crushes his head.
Yeah.
Like, starts to crush his helmet, tosses that aside, throws him out. And this is where you get the conflict of who's gonna be the person in Jean's ear the most, Vuk or the X-Men, Professor X of it, right? Vuk is sitting there talking to her, chirping in her ear, hey, you don't want this power. Look what it's doing to you. It's taking away the person that you are. And Jean's like, yeah, here, come take it. Come take it. All the while, Professor X is sitting there at the base of the stairs now in the building, trying to sweet talk Jean, be like, hey, you can control this. This is you. You're in there. And then we get one of the fucking weirdest.
So weird.
Weirdest moments where
so weird.
Jean legit makes Professor X walk up the stairs.
She's like, come walk
come
to
walk
me.
To me.
It's
come
borderline
walk to me.
Like, offensive.
You know I can't. And then she crushes the chair and like makes him like weirdly walk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is
it's not great.
Happening?
It's not great.
Why did we do this? What was the point of this?
It was very much a why scene. It was borderline offensive.
It's not a good look.
It was not a good look. I'm like,
really
no, this is terrible. Why would you do this to this poor handicapped man?
Flown him up there and like tossed him to the ground?
Or she could have just like levitated him up and like held him. I think that would have been effective, like use of her power. I don't know. I don't know why they made him.
But eventually, once he weirdly walks up the stairs, he does get through to Jean.
Yes. Right?
At the very last minute, Jean is trying to give her powers to Vuk. Professor X gets into the mindset of Jean, is able to tap into her down underneath the Phoenix Force and have Jean let go of Vuk so that way Vuk doesn't get all of the Phoenix Force powers. But at the same time, the police show up right then, zap them, whatever their mutant zapper thingamajig is.
Yeah, they use the collars that we saw in Deadpool 2.
They use the collars, yep.
And then cowered up all the mutants, so Magneto's side of it all, Professor X's side of it all, and now they're on a train, and Jean as well. Now they're on a train, and supposedly off to some like compound, right? To be
nothing ups the stakes like a high speed train.
I was like, oh, we're going to a train. No, we've never used trains, and we've already used them in like I think like 9 X-Men movies, so it's totally fine. Yeah,
this scene was dope, though.
It was.
It was dope. Yeah, this was pretty cool. Yeah, like,
they have some awesome action scenes.
Yeah,
the action scenes are solid. Like,
it's an entertaining movie for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So the train scene of it, everybody's chained up, right? The Dabari aliens are still trying to get Jean. They start to hop onto the train. Like they, for a moment, I thought it was going to be the Morlocks, but they're underneath the underside of a tunnel, hop on top of the train and start infiltrating. And no matter what the mutants say, the policemen won't let them out, even though they're going to help until the very last minute when everybody, all the guards are getting killed. And eventually, finally, guards dead, release the mutants to help them at the last minute.
But I didn't understand how the guards knew that the Dabari weren't mutants.
Right.
Like they immediately somehow recognize that the Dabari are not, but they all have, you know, superhuman speed and strength.
Wouldn't, I think when the they use the little mutant things that they took that helped take the X-Men down in the New York scene, they shoot them with those little things.
And they're not
they
working.
Shoot it with the they shoot the Dabari alien with it, and there's effect. He like pulls it out and is like,
okay, that's my lot.
I think that's what like cues them as to it. And then when they start shooting, they start seeing that they're aliens and not mutants.
Yeah,
so there's like some indicator.
And that they're Skrull. I mean, Dabari.
I mean, yes. We got a lot of shape-shifting aliens in our movies lately. Yeah. Which, fun story, they reshot a lot of the ending of this movie because it was way too close to Captain Marvel. That's why there was reshoots.
Huh.
It was very, like, very, very close. So they had to reshoot the entire ending because it was so close to Captain Marvel.
Wow.
So
Fox and Marvel Studios just not talking?
No. Surprising.
Okay.
But back to the
movie.
Actually really, the good scene of it all. This train scene, eventually the mutants get let go, right? To help them fight the Dabari aliens. And we get to see just how the movie started with like a kind of cool team up and one-on-one battles
shot.
Between this
I
stuff.
I love the shot of them all getting up and coming together to like hell badass fight. I was like, that was a cool shot. I really like them.
I'm a sucker for those little moments.
I was like, yeah, now we're going to go kick some ass.
Hell yeah. Highlights of this stuff for you guys, because there's a lot that happens in this scene, right? I have a couple
of
notes of like what are your kind of like highlight moments that you guys thought were the best of this action scene?
For me, it's two. I mean, seeing Magneto assemble his like flying gun arsenal was sweet.
So awesome.
Was freaking sweet.
I love Magneto.
he did get destroyed after that, but that scene was freaking really cool. Also, the scene with Nightcrawler where he grabs one of the Dabari and just like places her
surprised.
In front of the train, and that face that he makes is so horrifying.
So like that whole like took me completely off guard because I was not expecting it. Like the guard that like made a comment at him like, oh, my son used to really like you, and like I was like, he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then like he dies like, please don't die, and that sets him off
He
died, and now he like turns and then just straight up starts murdering people. I was
That's
like
sweet.
What is happening? I love every second of this. Please murder more people.
Yeah, go Nightcrawler.
Like he's a badass.
And the use of the tail. We hadn't seen the use of the tail up until this point in the movie.
Like, which is like apparently like laced with vibranium or something. It's just probably slicing people like butter.
I just wrote Nightcrawler Vengeance! Exclamation point.
Yes.
Yeah.
So nice.
It was so good. I like Storm.
Yes.
Storm was my other, yes.
Storm. Fuck yeah.
Yes.
That's what I wrote next to it.
Yes. Agreed. Storm is one of my favorite X-Men characters. And I'm glad we got to see some of her being a badass. Like, finally in these movies. I loved every second of Storm in this. Just lightning how, the shit out of everyone on top of the train.
And how she raises up over the train is such like a, her storm move with her hands like pointed upwards and the electricity
I
coming through.
I wish they gave her like a 90s like from the cartoon moment of her just saying ridiculous shit before using her powers. That was like, if they did that, that would have been the most fan service thing.
May the north winds of the gods be projected through me too.
I wanted some bullshit. It wouldn't have made any sense in the context of this movie, but just to like throw it in. Who cares? They were done anyway, so why not give me something?
Hell out of this. Why not?
I love Storm.
And it's
Storm.
Like in earlier X-Men movies, we really only get to see her use like wind and lightning. Right. And this one, we got to see everything.
A lot of snow. Yeah. They use a lot, but which she uses a couple times. But this was cool to see her use the lightning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she helps Magneto too, which I liked her helping Magneto.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, of course, we have like the big battle between Dabari and mutants. All these little moments kind of pop up between it. All the Dabari trying to get through to Jean. Eventually, Magneto goes apeshit on them, throws them off the train. We have the showdown with Magneto and Vuk, who is there, of course, to play cleanup after kind of the Dabari fail and hurt some of the X-Men. Magneto gets tossed aside after the awesome gun scene that Max is mentioning. So it's basically now Vuk, Professor X, and Cyclops all there with Jean trying to protect her. Professor X finally is sitting next to Jean throughout this whole time, and Cyclops is protecting him. He's trying to get through to Jean, right? She's asleep, kind of in that coma state again, trying to tap into the Jean, not the Phoenix Jean, and eventually does it right at the last second, goes and triggers memories of her past, and not just of her past, but of the present, of all the people that are fighting for her, right? She gets to see glimpses of Storm and of Cyclops and of Magneto and Nightcrawler all fighting to protect her. And that's what pulls her out of this. It's not talking about her past. It's the present people, her family, as Professor X and her talk about it. And eventually, she turns in full fucking Phoenix Force throughout her and pulls and points that directly at Vuk. Basically pulls up all the trains, protects her family, throws out all the Dabari people, and now they're in the middle of this like kind of this like wasteland of sorts. But it was kind of an awesome freaking scene to see how powerful she is, like literally throwing everybody that was just fighting aside, protecting her people, and then kind of trying to be off with it.
Yeah. And then they go into space.
I like them focusing on the present for her, and that's like her snapping back point, because before this, Xavier is trying to get her to focus on like the past, and like then we have Vuk trying to have her focus on what her future could be, and it's really what's rooted in the present that like takes her, like that allows her to control the power.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting point. Yeah, and then they go into space. They dust some people and they go into space.
I like the scene. It looked really beautiful.
It was a really pretty scene.
It was.
It was a little bit Infinity War for me, with the dusting.
With the dusting.
But I think the part that was tough for me was like seeing like the explosion in space and like the emergence of the Fire Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool. It looked good. It's a little on the nose with like, yeah, she's a phoenix. It's a bird. I get it. That's that.
Yeah. I mean, we did see it in Age of Apocalypse when she uses and unleashes her full power then. So it's a little
even
bit of a callback.
Didn't have Phoenix Force.
And even though she didn't. It was always inside of her, Max.
Right, sure. Maybe. But it was also inside of her in Last Stand. And X2.
And
X2, whatever.
There's so many good elements. I know we like zipped through the end of the movie, but like, there's so many good elements of this. I think the action scenes that we talked about are really good. Aaron, I love how you pointed out like the three elements of Jean, past, present, and future, right? And I think they set up those buckets, but they just didn't double down on them enough. They did past. They didn't double down enough on the present, like her her family element, which I think that's the way you could emotionally root this thing and make me like feel her pain and anguish throughout all
this. I didn't connect with Jean enough in this movie, and I wish I was able to, because that ending would have hit so much harder, and her like getting destroyed or whatever happens to her. We see her like the little phoenix fly away in the sky at the end, which was... That was super corny, but it was cute, I guess.
I mean, here's my...
It's a little bit of both.
A little mix of both. But, like, I would have connected with that scene so much more if I really felt for Jean the entire way through, or knew what she was going 100%. Through, or knew what she was feeling. Like, we don't really get inside of her head, which is sad, because this is your main character. This is your focus. And I feel like I didn't emotionally connect with her.
There are two scenes after this, right? We've got the Charles and Magneto, where they're playing chess at the Vieux Copain cafe.
The Dark Knight Rises.
The old friends cafe. Like, yep. Okay, yeah. Dude, we get that.
It's the Dark Knight Rises. I was like, oh, we Dark Knight Rising this shit.
I'm like,
it's true.
I'm just kind of over them playing chess, I think. It's like, you guys are competitive, but friends, we get it. But then,
they
rename the school after Jean Grey, which is like, okay, you're going to rename the school after the person that murdered one of the founders of the school. Like, why didn't they call it like the Raven School? That would have made more sense to me.
I thought they were going to name it after Raven, after Mystique, which makes way more sense. And I was like, well, okay.
And it all just made me wish that in that last confrontation with Phoenix, I wish that Professor X had died. I wish that Magneto had died. I wish that Psych. I wish like everyone had died.
Decimated.
I'm a nihilist for sure. Yeah. But I wish everyone had died, and then Beast taking over the school and renaming it after a Raven or someone. Then that feels like a fresh start and a clean way to then transfer the series over to the MCU.
Yeah.
It did feel what Raven's death and Jean Grey's death felt very similar to Black Widow and Iron Man. Which was Black Widow kind of got brushed under, right?
Yeah.
Besides Hulk throwing a bench across the lake.
I was
going to
say, we got a bench
yeah,
throw.
Yeah, for sure.
That it kind of just got glossed over. Right. Same thing happened to Mystique here. Jean Grey gets a plaque in that ceremony, all this stuff. And
but
she
Mystique,
murdered
like,
people.
The
like, she destroyed people.
and led the team.
Didn't do anything wrong. Well, she did do stuff wrong. But
she did stuff wrong.
In this movie, did not do anything explicitly bad.
Right.
And doesn't get anything.
No, which made no sense. It would have made a lot more sense if they named it after Mystique and Raven. Like, it was kind of weird to, like, name it after Jean. Which, I get it. It's her movie, but no.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So anything, guys, that stood out that we hadn't touched on, favorite moment, favorite line, other elements like popped off, that stuff that you remember? I got one for sure, but I want to toss it to you guys first.
John, I think we probably have the same line.
Does it have to do with the bald woman?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no. Okay.
I mean, the moment that caught me off guard that I just loved so much was in the confrontation between Professor X and Magneto's crew. Cyclops is just like, I will fucking kill you. And they saved their fuck. For that one moment, and that was kind of like,
Cyclops gets saucy. He's getting saucy. Yeah.
I loved that.
It's finally Cyclops like stepping up and protecting the people that he loves.
I wish we got more of Cyclops stepping up though. Like if he's going to be the eventual leader of this team, we got no indication of that. Like that's like the little maybe like
not a little one,
a little tiny bit.
There's like a brief moment when they're getting ready to go to New York where he's like, "No, Storm, I need you."
Yeah,
but that's it.
Yeah,
like that little like brief moment.
That
was
a great
time.
Moment too.
That was solid. That was him like showing he kind of can be a leader, but not him. To your point, leading.
Right? There's and we're getting to the point of like this is supposed to be 1992, and like I know the first one took place in 1999, different kind of storyline, but like if we're
alternate
supposed to be
reality.
Like alternate reality at this point, but like if we're supposed to almost be at that point, like
I feel like a lot of grown up
doing like 5 years to see him be at that level. I don't know, I would have liked a little more of that if he was like, if we're going to position him as like the next leader. But I did love that line too. I was also like, damn, Cyclops.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Anything that stood out to you, Aaron, that we haven't touched on?
We haven't already touched on? Dazzler. We already touched on Dazzler, but I want to mention her again.
Because
I got very excited about Dazzler. Because I actually was very excited. Because we got like the little CD of her, record actually, of her in the last movie.
Yeah.
It was like little like tease, and I was like, ooh, Dazzler.
Nah, for sure. That was a great little thing to chew on. Nugget.
Yeah. I think.
One of the things that stood out to me was one of the things I laughed at the most, which wasn't on the movie, didn't mean this on purpose, was Celine, was the bald woman's name?
Yeah.
Celine.
Her death.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
She's just standing next to a hole in the train, and all of a sudden there's this random arm just comes and grabs her by the head and pulls her out and throws her. I'm like, what?
Right. I was waiting cracking up. I was like, sound effect. Up.
Like, I was like, yoink.
It was such a Wile E. Coyote moment or something. Yes. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was laughing my ass off of that. Like, I know it wasn't planned for it, but it was just like too much at that point. Amongst all the X-Men movies, right? So we've gone through every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Warvis has walked us through the official Sci-Fi Wire rankings of X-Men movies 1 through 11. Where do you guys feel like this one fits? I know it's a tough question.
Yeah,
One we got to ask.
Yeah. My hunch is that I don't think that this movie is as good as like a First Class. I think it's better than a Last Stand, but not by that much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd put this in like the, if we're ranking 12, it's probably like around 8.
I was going to say 8 or 9. Yeah. My I thought 8 or 9 I was going to put.
So we can say Last Stand underneath it, right?
Yeah.
Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And below it.
For sure.
We going to say.
I would put Apocalypse under.
Apocalypse?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that movie.
Mm-hmm. The Wolverine? I liked this better than the Wolverine.
Personally. I love the Wolverine.
I prefer the Wolverine.
I love the Wolverine. I don't like how it ends, but I love that movie.
Okay, I'm not going to fight you on that, right? Like, it is very much like a flip of the coin between those two. That's the level it's on. It's the Wolverine level.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for this because I like team-up movies more than one is. But I'm also, I'm not going to, I don't have an umbrage against
it's kinda
it.
It was kind of sad that they teased Mr. Sinister at the end of Apocalypse.
Totally.
And we never got that.
I wanted that so bad.
I wanted it so bad. I was like, yes, that's something awesome to do for your final X-Men movie.
That was with Essex Corp. And, yeah.
And I was so psyched. I'm like, cool, that's actually a good way to end these movies. And
especially
then
in the 90s. Like, Mr. Sinister was the biggest bad in the X-Men series, to be honest.
It's
like, he was the best bad guy.
And why didn't we get that?
That would been good.
Because we needed to tell the Dark Phoenix story for
again,
a fourth time.
For like, we haven't gotten enough of it.
It's about at number 8-9-ish of the 12.
I would say 8-9-ish.
Yeah, that's fair. And we kind of, that's about right for it to kind of end on a, like a meh. No. I am excited to see what the hell happens with X-Men in the MCU. There's
Me
so
too.
Much that they could do with
There's
this
so
and
potential.
So many ways that they can work this in. I know obviously it's something like ridiculously obvious that I'm saying here.
Bring back Morph.
Okay. Morph!
R.I.P. Morph. R.I.P. Morph.
But he comes back.
Yeah.
He comes back. I forget that he comes back sometimes.
Can I? Yeah, he does come back all the time, randomly. Can I ask one other question? I know it's not on here. Briefly, how would y'all want to see X-Men worked into the MCU? Since that is the next step for this franchise, right, is figuring out how this plays into the Marvel MCU. What's something that you guys would want to see? Is it a character, a moment, a way in, anything, just like something that you would love to see?
Proper Rogue and Gambit.
For sure.
I want my Gambit, like legit Gambit, and I want Rogue.
Love that Rogue.
I mean, we have Captain Marvel. That's a really good entry point into Rogue. So I feel like that's something I never got. I never got their relationship and them, even just them interacting, really. So Rogue and Gambit, somehow, I want to see what 100%. They do with them. Like, that's what I'm most excited about.
It'll be interesting to see because I feel like with bringing Spider-Man into Civil War, they sort of set a precedent with how they did, and they did that so effectively by sort of looping him into the MCU. My hunch is that they're going to do something slightly different here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's maybe we see some X-Men in Eternals, but I don't know. I'm pumped either way.
I'm excited. I'm very excited to see what they do next.
I'm getting the rap sign, but the one thing that I want to see, I want to see Cyclops treated properly.
I knew that was going to be
going to the like, troubled, guilt-ridden leader of the X-Men who feels it when his teammates are lost and dies. That's what I want to see. All right, y'all.
Yeah.
This has been, of course, our Days of Marvel podcast. I want to say thank you to Aaron and to Max as we've taken a look at Dark Phoenix today.
Thanks, y'all.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And thanks you, of course. We didn't tap into as much Warvis, but Warvis, you've been a hell of a contributor these past 11, now 12 days. Thank you, my dude. Cool, y'all. So Days of Marvel, this has been awesome. Dark Phoenix, good action scenes. Plot point. but I would say definitely make sure to look out for Spider-Man in a couple weeks. That'll be the next continuation of the Days of Marvel podcast. It'll be 8 days of Spider-Man, counting down the days leading up to Spider-Man Far From Home, of course.
Super
pumped. And also, If you like what you're listening, if you don't like what you're listening, whatever. If you just fucking got this far into the podcast, to be real, make sure you rate, review.
Congratulations.
You made
Congrats. And also make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. And join us for 8 Days of Spider-Man. It'll be coming up in just a little bit, leading up to Spider-Man Far From Home.
Cool.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.